Hi everyone, and thanks for listening to Lit Radio podcast. I'm Teja, and today I'm joined by Sandra Stau. We will talk about the Smart PR Book, a practical guide to the art and craft of public relations. Sandra is a co-founder of the communications agency Jacob Stau, now a Rudolphin company. She is an award-winning author, widely published thought leader and founding faculty of the Branding plus Integrated Communications Master's Degree Program at the City College of New York. The Smart PR Book is a concise and practical guide about the constantly evolving discipline of public relations. It helps readers grow the mindset and skills to meet the communications challenges of today and beyond. Oh, hi, Sandra. It's a great pleasure to have you with us on the Lit Radio podcast. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great. So today we're here to talk about your new book, The Smart PR Book. So first of all, could you tell us why you decided to write it?
Yes. It's sort of one of these organic kind of stories. I had written a book called The Art and Craft of PR with Lid, in fact, that was published in 2018. And over the course of the years between then and now, the art and craft of PR had been used a lot in schools and university programs and master's degree programs and undergrad and workshops. It was just sort of used in this sub-school setting. And it had also been passed around a lot to people who were in their early years of their PR career. And the feedback from the students or the readers was that, wow, this is so great. I love these stories. I feel like I'm learning so much. There's so many fundamentals here. But what I would really love is to actually do something, is take my pen out of my bag and practice some of the activities that you've talked about in the book. In the book, I talked about, you know, a lot of the games and activities I do with young people. I sort of mentor in my agency here, and also with students, because I'm also a teacher in a master's degree program. And so young readers told me this all the time. And then in the last couple of years, a colleague professor at the school I teach in, he teaches from my book. It's a 12-week course, and he literally teaches one chapter a week in his class. And he said to me as well, it would really be great if there were exercises. And so I said, okay, I hear you. And so when the opportunity arose to do a concise advice iteration of the art and craft of PR, which was a chance to really update it, add, you know, everything that's changed in PR since 2018 till now, or, you know, in the world and in communications, and a chance to add all the games I do all the time in real life, I jumped at it. And so that's what this new book is. The Smart PR is sort of an updated version of the art and craft of PR. It has new stories, you know, new anecdotes. It has, you know, lots of information about what's different now about PR than was then, you know, like our use of AI in communications. You know, the pandemic has happened between the time I wrote the first book and now. And so much has changed. We all work from home. We're recording this podcast remotely. And so communications has had to do a shift there as well. Leaders that we work with in our client companies or any organization, they really need to be more visible, more empathetic, more real, more open to their stakeholders, and that's all reflected in the book, in the new book, as well as you know, all the fun games that will make everybody, you know, dig out and find their pencils, you know, or pens if they're super confident. But they're games they can do again and again to perfect their skills. So that's what the new book is all about.
Well, fantastic. So Because before we speak more about the book, Sandra, and because this is a book podcast and some aspiring authors might be listening to us today, could you share what was the writing process like for you?
Oh, the writing process is very personal. I've spoken to so many writers, and many of whom I really admire. And I've also been to a lot of author talks because I find this, such an exciting and intriguing, and it's hard, and so I like to hear what other people do and how they approach it. And I've never heard consensus. So everyone sort of does it their own way. I have a full-time job. I am, I'm not a full-time author. So my writing process for book projects like this has to be on the weekends. And so I have to sort of carve out, that the time on a weekend because that's the only time I have to write. I need to get outside first. I need to move around. I need to run. I need to walk. I need to go to the gym. I need to, do some hot yoga. My process really is condensed into very short spurts. And it has to always be after I've done a good solid hour of movement outdoors or somewhere outside my writing area, which typically is my home. So that's the way I do it. I sometimes work from an outline. I sometimes don't. One trick I could share that I really am consistent about is whenever I think of something that I think in the course of my day, any day, life, in the evenings, any time in the course of a day, when I hear a word or I remember a story or I have an experience that I think would be good material for the book, I write it down immediately in the notes section of my phone. So this, happens all day, all the time. Whether I'm in a play or in a movie, I'll write it down immediately after, or a conversation with a friend, or an experience with a client. Like as soon as it happens, or as soon as I hear this, I'll remember it. And then the moment that I, I'm not being rude to whoever I'm with or in the movie or something, the second I have a moment to myself, I write it down in the notes. And so when I sit down to write on the weekend, I consult that notes section and I see what I wrote down during the week, and it'll trigger what happened and something that I think is interesting enough or relevant enough or will fit really well or surprise or delight or something the reader. So that's one thing that I do all the time. Oh, and I've done this for years, probably for like 20 years or 10 years. As long as I have one of these smartphones, I've always done that, where I write something down the second I see it, hear it, or think it's sort of interesting for some reason, and then you look in your notes, and there it is.
Well, yeah, I think that's a very interesting process that, well, a lot of people can copy. I think it would really help with generating ideas. But now to come back to the Smart PR book, could you tell us who you wrote this book for and what can they learn from it?
I think because I've been in PR for a very long time, and because I'm also a teacher, and I see these students, they're always master's degree students, so they're not I haven't done a lot of teaching of undergrads, some, but more master's degree for people who feel like they know generally what they want to do with their career. I really try to write for people who are interested in PR as a career, interested in PR because they don't really get it, or they don't understand it, interested in PR because they're pursuing it as students, or interested in PR and they're actually in this business. And I think my style and the stories I tell and the information I share Is there's probably something in this book for anyone who's actually still in the business for some time. So not necessarily just an entry level person, but someone who's probably been in it for maybe 10 years. So it's a full range. It's like from interest to practice. I think people after 10 or 15 years have all the stories of their own. So sometimes they sort of find mine relatable in a way that just triggers, all their own sort of experiences. But I think generally this book is good for interest, early career, studying, and probably up to 10 years practicing the business.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great range and that you capture. But you mentioned that this book is a continuation of your previous book, The Art and Craft of PR. So, Sandra, how would you define the art and craft of PR?
Well, I talk about it twice. I mean, I talk about it. I discussed the art last t time, and I sort of refine the art and craft this time, but it's still fundamentally the same, right? And so, the art is really refers to communications, the whole art of communications, right? And a lot of the art is based on is very human. Right, it's very emotional. It's very human. The art is about listening, and about curiosity, and about a willingness to really understand who our stakeholders are. Who are we talking to? If we have a client in one area or another. I mean, I work in healthcare, so a lot of the business I do supports companies and organizations. In all kinds of disease states, in health and lifestyle, in brushing your teeth, oral care. I mean, it's all very health oriented, and people who we're speaking to are in various stages of healthcare, and sometimes it begins as early as the scientists who are developing new drugs or new devices or new diagnostics. So I whoever it is that my client is. I and every other PR person, when they get this, they first engage the art, which is to learn how the people who they're speaking to live their lives. What makes them happy? What is frustrating? What are their discontents? Where are the times in the day that they want to be communicated with? And what are their favorite platforms? Who are they? Which journalists are they following? What are their worries? What keeps them up at night? And PR, the art of PR is to really engage with that, is to do the homework and not just to have data in front of but to engage with it, to really put yourself in the shoes of the person, of the stakeholder you're trying to reach. Like walk in their shoes, live there, like just get in there and know who they are. And that kind of listening, observation, empathy, deep-rooted understanding, is very much a part of the art. The craft is the actual execution. And for the craft, we have to engage our curiosity from the art to look at new platforms, new technologies, like how could we amplify better, faster, wiser, more targeted? And so choosing the platform, choosing the way we communicate, choosing events or media or organizations where we'll activate, the program, but activate our creative idea, the way we'll reach these people, the way we'll build a relationship. That's the craft. And we just apply our curiosity and to learning about all those tactics, all those avenues in front of us, and choosing the right ones at the right time in the right way, and then building what needs to be built in order to get the message out. So it's this real combination of like thinking and emotional resonance and connection with the audience, with the stakeholders, and then acting on it to bring the messages to them so that we can build and sustain a really lasting, enduring, positive relationship. So it's this interesting, it's a good combination, but you can't really be fantastic at the craft if you haven't learned the art and embraced the art. So it's a real combo.
Fascinating. But let's talk about the skills of the modern PR professional, because you mentioned that some things have changed since you wrote the first book, and of course we now have things like AI. So could you tell us what are the most important skills for the PR professional of today?
Well, I could sort of do a little list for you, which could be helpful, right? So one again is curiosity. You have to just be a lifelong learner. I once heard someone say who, like a really award-winning recognized scientist in healthcare. He was, the head of R&D at a major multinational. And he said he never accepts when people call him an expert because that would suggest he has nothing left to learn. So he says, no, I'm not an expert. I have expertise, but I'm not an expert because I'm always learning. And I really embrace that because you have to be a lifelong learner in public relations. Yes, you can have expertise. Yes, you could be deeply experienced. But to say you have nothing left to learn and to live like that is just, it's not the way of the PR person. So curiosity is the number is a very significant one. Two, I would say, is integrity. There's a lot of mystery about PR among lots of people. I see it all the time. I have it in conversation. So what is it you do and what really is PR? And is it spin? Can you just turn a bad story into something positive? Are you, oh, that's a bad thing. Can't you just spin it into something really good? And that's not what we do. It's not in fact at all what we do. Where we conduct ourselves and we support our companies and our clients and our organizations with communications that are supported by real integrity and it's and there's never it never gets old. It never gets old to remind people and to conduct yourself as a PR person with real integrity. We are transparent. We are honest. We look for the right words, the best way to communicate what we have to, but we always communicate with integrity. And so I cannot underscore that more. So number three, I would say, is empathy. We, as I said earlier, we really have to, tap into the lives and the frustrations and the contents and the, challenges and the opportunities of our stakeholders, and so, and in so doing, we can reach them and build relationships with them from a real empathetic point of view. And we do, and I do a lot of work. I'm sure a lot of other PR senior PR leaders do the same. I mean, when we work with CEOs and other members of the C-suite of companies. We help them tap into their own empathy. It's a big role, especially in the last few years. We help them find their own empathy in communicating. So they're not sort of machine or robotic or, sometimes leaders can just read off a page to give a speech and they don't connect. And so we help them find their own empathy in communicating. So empathy, all from beginning to end, is a real is a real fundamental. Agility is the next one. You have to be able to move fast. You have to be able to think fast. And what's changed in this environment in the last few years with the rise of so many media outlets and so many platforms and so many ways people get information. And the sheer speed at which messages sometimes real, sometimes wrong, we're living in an age of real misinformation, get out there. You have to be really fast on deciding what to do or how to read a situation and then take the next step. You don't always have to react, but you have to be fast on knowing what's going on and what needs to be done. So agility is a very significant one, a fundamental right now in this world. Number five is something I tell my students all the time. I tell everyone, young interns in the agency, whoever I'm talking to, you still have to write. You still have to write crisp, clean, complete sentences. I know this gen, you know, the young generations now, they everyone likes to text and use little acronyms and phrases and all that. And yes, all good, but that doesn't preclude needing to know how to write and think in a crisp, clear sentence. It's critical. I think it always will be. I emphasize this, and I think if you can't, succinctly boil something, a big paragraph down into two decent sentences that are really nice and understandable, then that's you got work to do in your PR career. I think the ability to write is still critical, and I also think it's sort of fundamental to thinking clearly and crisply. If you can write it, you could think it, and if you can think it, you could say it. Six, another one is collaboration. You have to know how to work well with others, and people learn this when they're children. It's collaborating, working well as a team, playing nicely in the sandbox. This is a skill that you'll have your whole life, and it particularly comes into play when you're in PR. Next is the AI stuff, and really data and analytics. AI is in people say that it will change communications forever. I am happy to embrace a good two-thirds of that of that sentence. I think AI tools make life more efficient, and it helps us target our audiences. It helps us learn more about them faster. It also helps us with choosing platforms and developing content. There's lots of great things about it, but it's not always reliable in terms of full true information. You always there are sometimes laughable mistakes in stuff you get from AI. You have to really use your own, brain, your own tools, to your humanity, to read what you get and make sure that it is what you want to say or make it sound more like you. There's always going to be a human element. But I do have this, looking forward, I did have this funny conversation with a good friend in PR who I've known for, 30 years or something. And he said that in terms of shaping content that we will be disseminating through various PR ways in the future, we'll be hiring young people to be prompt engineers. You won't be an engineer, an intern anymore. We will be hiring people to be prompt engineers. And what he means by that is AI can only get smarter based on what you feed it and the information that you give it. And it's a fast learner, obviously, but you need to give it good information. Prompting an AI tool to give you what is going to be what you want to use ultimately is a big factor. End of the day on AI, I think we need to we're all excited and embracing. I think PR people have always been early adopters to new technologies and new platforms. We like these. We're very forward-thinking. And there'll always be a human element, at least from my perspective. There'll always be some need for people and to train a tool, to teach a tool, to better shape what you get from the tool, from an AI tool. Staying current and practicing and trying and experimenting is another fundamental now in my book, and for when it comes to data and analytics and AI and anything new that is that's that comes out of technology. But it's going, it is, and it has been for a long time, at least for the last 10 years, being able to use advanced analytics is a key, and it's something that it's a core capability, and knowing how to sort of use that and engage with like behavioral science, and what we do as part of the art, that's going to be key to engagement and people will be looking for. So that's the AI story and that data part. But speaking of story, the next thing is being able to story, like tell a good story, create a good story, find a good story, identify what the makings of a good story are. I think storytelling is another sort of human element that's almost part of the art, is recognizing one. The craft is being able to tell it. And so, stories will have power forever. I mean, they're part of cultural anthropology. I mean, that they are, it's very who we are. And stories still are what we remember. And there's a lot of data. Given my healthcare background, I always love data. And there's a lot of data behind what happens to the brain when it's on story. It's engaged in a really in a different way. And so storytelling will always be a big part of PR. And then I guess the last one I'll talk about is measurement, right? And we're always asked to prove our value. What have you done for me? How has your public relations been helpful toward exceeding our goals or achieving our goals? So we always have to be we just ha always have to be adept at measurement. And that's a lot of data use as well, as where data comes into is showing what we did, and how it contributed, and what the long relationship is with this organization or that stakeholder does for the brand or the company reputation. So we just have to be very very aware and adept at using all the tools in our toolbox from the data side and from the human side to show and underscore the value, the ROI, what did we deliver and how valuable it is. So I think that's nine sort of key fundamentals, and they I think they'll be in place forever.
Well, great. I think that's a very nice list of skills and capabilities. That's well, people should hear if they want to really develop themselves in the field of PR. But talking of artificial intelligence, Sandra, how do you see AI and automation shaping the future of PR?
Well, I think I alluded to this a little bit already, and I guess the it's AI is shaping everything. It's communications, and it's just one. Where you see AI making a huge impact, certainly in the healthcare world, is its ability to sift through on the discovery side. This is on the science end, in the R&D end. Is that it has the ability to sift through, thousands of bits of information, molecules, human data, DNA, and it's so fast. It can just sift through so much information so fast. And it could and it will revolutionize. It is changing the process of discovery on the science side. And so if you apply that whole idea of information sifting and then and to communications, it just gives you information. We in PR now have information about so many things that we research. We can have this information so much faster, and it's the research process is just truncated by enormously. But I still think it's whatever you put in it, whatever that your tool has, what it's learned already, is what you get back. And so you have to keep feeding your tool information. You have to give it the right prompts. You have to ask it the right questions, in order to get back what what is most useful. So I think there's a lot of give and take here still on the A side and the AI side in terms of getting more and more value, out of AI. So it's sort of it's exciting and it's a and it's not all machine. It's a real combination of what the human does and how the human interacts with the technology, and then what you and as the human do to use it or to get it out. We could shape content so much faster now with AI. So I am a student of AI. I am. I wouldn't even say I have great expertise with it now. I would say I am gaining expertise. But it's really it's an interesting and exciting area that I learn about through talks and colleagues and. I listen to podcasts all about AI, and I've certainly written about it for clients on the pharmaceutical side. They're all using generative technology, generative AI for learning discovery. So I would say I'm an ardent student of AI right now. I think most of us are in this boat, but the more you learn and the more you experiment, and the more you interact, the more value you can get out of it. And as it evolves itself too. So we're all sort of evolving.
Yeah, I really like that phrase, being a student of AI, which, yeah, I absolutely agree that we're all in the same boat with that. So, yeah, it's very interesting to see what's going to come next. But now, because we've been living in the past few years in an environment of change, and especially in 2024, we've seen a lot of government changes in Europe, and now in the US, there is a new president, so there is a lot of uncertainty. So, Sandra, what is the importance of public relations when there is an environment of change and uncertainty?
Right. Well, we are this happens, it's kind of cyclical when things happen like this, when there's so much upheaval in the world because of changes, as you suggest. We in the US definitely we have a new president. There are new leaders all over the world in places as well. In times of change and uncertainty, people trust less, right? Trust becomes such a huge issue. And also I will say I just saw this this agency called Edelman has a trust barometer that they release every time every year at this time. I think it's been 25 years now. And it was just released, and it's and part of what people are experiencing now is not only a real crisis of trust, but there's also this feeling of grievance, right? Everybody's grumpy. Everyone's got a complaint about something or other. That we're just sort of living in this time of it's tense, and there's a lot to complain about. It's a lot of grievance, right? So when there's this feeling, right, of I don't know what's happening and I'm not sure I feel in control and I don't know, I'm like every day you open the media, your newspaper or your feed and you see something else that's said from the news that's, oh, you're kidding me kind of thing. It becomes a real trust issue. And PR is fundamental. It's core. It is critical at helping companies and leaders build, sustain, grow, or in some cases, rebuild trust. Like you trust, transparency, honesty, all these sort of feelings and practices and ways of communicating and living. This is what PR can do. And this is where PR comes into play. We help companies and leaders, remind themselves and their stakeholders of their mission, of their own fundamentals in their company. What's authentic to them? What made them begin this company, and what are the sort of guidelines they live by? And so it's a This trust is really about authenticity and sort of honing back to like what makes you go to work every day? What drives you? Why is this company, how does this company contribute? How is it changing lives? How is it always, or what is it, if it's a new company, what are they doing now to sort of be real and make things, better in an honest way. And so, our ability to sort of articulate and help companies think through how to tell people who they are and what they do and why they're in this job and how they're going to make and what drives them every day to make life better. That builds trust and that with stakeholders. And that just reminds, it just rem it's like a really big reminder to their stakeholders of why they are believers in this company or work for it or support it or are customer of it or use their brands or something. So I feel like PR is very good to have active and engaged to build trust or rebuild or enhance or sustain whatever the state of the company is in terms of trust. But trust is could not be more important during times of change and uncertainty. And PR is very good, it's core, at communicating that. So it's a lot of there's a lot of conversations going around, at least in my client world, about okay, here's the world we're living in, and what do people need to hear from us now? Like, how can we give them really great, fundamental, valuable, practical information they could trust? I one of the brands I work on is for it's clears congestion from the nasal cavity, and they've been in business for 10 years, and they and it's a really it's a trusted brand because they've been out there for so long, and it has this very great backstory as a company, and users love this thing. And recently, in the last couple of months, there's been a newcomer in the space, a challenger in the space, and they were my client was and said, oh, how should we approach this newcomer? Because they were sort of loud and saying a lot of statements that didn't have any support. There was no evidence to support a lot of their statements that were competitive. And so I said, listen, you are the leading brand. You've been around for a decade. We have to just remind everybody who we are, what we do, why we work, why we care, and why and how what we're doing is going to make them breathe easier, clear their congestion. There's a certain calm to that sort of honing to your own authentic story. Like it, you don't react so fast to things that are happening in the world when, or in your space, or, competitive noise. There's a certain calm that you have when you know who you are, and what you have to say and why you're in this business and how you're changing life for the people that you're serving, for the better. It's really that calm is a good place to start with when you're thinking creatively and strategically, and that's, again, like beginning from a foundation of, authenticity and realness, you can convey that you are the trusted, you can be trusted because you're communicating that way. So I think, it's a good place to be from any at any time, but particularly when there's something happening in the world, like a change or, a big shift. You have to stay very aware of what's going on. We're ear to the ground for, everything. We take it all in, right? But the way we conduct ourselves, is true to who we are.
Absolutely. I really like that. And all right, so Sandro, I've got one final question to end this very interesting conversation. So if you could give one piece of PR advice to your younger self or to any aspiring young PR professional listening to us today, what would that advice be?
Let's see. Well, here's something, I guess, this that I could share here. I have always in you know, when I am in class or I, you know, talk or with young, you know, younger people in the agency, or I'm having conversations with even my, you know, children and their colleagues, and their my kids are in their 20s and one is 30. You know, they I think people tend to say no to invitations, to some invitations. Like they're tired. Like if they get an invite to to something to meet that would be an after work drink or or a networking event or you know, something after work when they would when they're tired or would rather go home or hang out with their friends or go to the gym or something. They're fast to say no. They're fast to say no, I can't go for all these, you know, for one reason or another. And I always encourage them to not do that. I encourage them to say yes. And if you get an opportunity or you get an invitation, your first instinct should not be no. Your first instinct should be to say yes, because you never, and even if you stay for half an hour, right? Even if you don't stay for very long, but if you go, but if you go, chances are you'll meet someone, you'll have a conversation, you'll overhear an anecdote, you'll bump into somebody on the subway, like you'll just the idea, saying yes and exposing yourself to something new. Is always a win, always. And so, you know, I encourage people to have more of a yes, mentality when they're offered, something to that could open their eyes or open their world or, you know, give them something they didn't have, if they didn't go. And it really could be something tiny, like a word, like you overhear a word in a conversation that you didn't know. That's sort of interesting, you know, and you write it down and you go home and look at it and say, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden you use that word, you know, or a song is playing and you never heard that before. And who is that artist? Like it really could be so nothing like that, but or it could be meeting someone, you know, obviously getting an opportunity. It could be the full spectrum, but you wouldn't have it if you were if you said no, like you if you didn't go, if you didn't try, you know, if you didn't make an effort. And so, for those kinds of in those kinds of scenarios, I encourage people to say yes, and go or do or read or try, you know, and it doesn't matter how for how long, but you know, chances are you'll get something, you'll learn something new that will be valuable.
Oh, I think that's a very good advice. Thank you, Sandra, and thank you for your time speaking with me today on the Lit Radio podcast. Of course, I would encourage our listeners to grab a copy of the Smart PR book and to read about your other insights. But thanks very much for your time. It was very interesting for me.
Thank you. It was fun. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.